Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM, now providing a new mobile site, FarmerView, for up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids. Available at adm.com/farmerview.
Good morning. You're listening to WILL AM 580. Stay tuned. International news from the BBC World Service is coming up at 9 o'clock. But first, with the pre-opening market report, here's Dave Dickey.
Thank you very much, Chris, and good Monday morning, everyone. USDA is releasing today a proposed new rule on country of origin labeling in the Federal Register. The proposed rule change comes after a World Trade Organization appellate panel found last June that the U.S. meat labeling law discriminated against imported livestock from Canada and Mexico. USDA says that the rule would modify labeling provisions for muscle cuts to require more information on where each of the production stages, born, raised, and slaughtered, occurred. For instance, a steer born in Canada but raised and slaughtered in the U.S. would be labeled effectively in that manner, born in Canada, raised and slaughtered in the U.S. For all domestic animals, the label change would be product of the U.S. To born, raised, and slaughtered in the U.S. Retailers would be prevented from commingling muscle cuts from different countries in packaging. This morning, private exporters reported to USDA export sales of 225,000 metric tons of soybeans for the marketing year that began on September 1st, and export sales of 120,000 metric tons of corn for delivery to China during the 2013-14 marketing year that began on June the 1st. Dow Jones Industrial Average is 14,388, down 8.25 points. The NASDAQ, 3239, down almost 5. And the S&P 500 at 1549 is down 1.5 points. Joining us with a look at agricultural weather is World Weather Incorporated meteorologist Drew Lerner.
A drier weather pattern will likely evolve across portions of the Midwest as we move forward through this week, and the majority of the region will likely have an opportunity to see a firming soil as time moves along. We're still going to be rather cool here for the next day or two, and in fact, the storm system that's dominating the region this morning is going to prevail for the next couple of days, but it will be winding down and reducing its precipitation to just some scattered showers of rain and snow over the next 24 to 48 hours. Precipitation will not completely exit out of the eastern Midwest until sometime Wednesday, and so therefore there will not be much of a favorable drying environment for those portions of the Midwest, but we will expect the western portions of the region to start seeing some drier weather already tomorrow. In fact, today most areas will be dry with the exception of a little bit of snow that's occurring this morning across portions of Iowa and neighboring areas of Wisconsin. Storm system was very impressive over the course of the weekend, with widespread precipitation being reported across a big part of the Midwest. The majority of the precipitation that did occur was concentrated on Missouri and eastern portions of Nebraska, and from there upwards into Wisconsin and portions of Illinois, where totals were frequently in the range of 0.6 inches to about 1.5 inches. Now, a lot of this precipitation was not quite as significant as it moved eastward across the Midwest, but there were a number of locations in the Tennessee River Basin and parts of the Delta that also received some significant amounts of moisture. The lightest precipitation was noted in parts of Indiana and eastern sections of Michigan, and that was as of dawn today, but we do expect to see some additional showers in parts of that region as we move forward through the next 2 days, even though the precipitation will be light. Temperatures over the course of the weekend turned cooler across the Midwest as well, and we are expecting the milder to cooler conditions to prevail as we move forward through a big part of this week. The highest temperatures over the past 2 or 3 days were running mostly in the range of 30s and 40s across the northern portions of the Midwest, while we were as warm as 60s and lower 70s ahead of the storm system early in the weekend. Now, temperatures are going to be quite a bit chillier across the region for a bit, but not necessarily excessively cold. We'll expect to see a lot of high temperatures out there this afternoon to run in the 30s and 40s across portions of the upper Midwest. Some 20s will likely occur in the Red River Valley of the North, and some of those areas will stay rather chilly for a while this week. Southern portions of the Midwest will see highs in the 40s and perhaps a few 30s as we go through the next couple of days. There may be some readings over 50 degrees that will occur near the Ohio River and point southward. It's going to get very warm in the U.S. Central Plains, and some of those areas picked up on significant precipitation during the weekend as well. But now we're going to reverse the pattern, start drying down the region for a little bit. Temperatures are expected to soar into the 70s and some lower 80s across hard red winter wheat country as we move into the last part of this week. The 70-degree highs will occur for at least 3 days across the Central Plains and probably see the Southern Plains in the 70s and 80s during a big part of the end of this week and on into the weekend. It'll be a steady rate of drying because no precipitation is expected to fall in the southern half of the plains through a big part of this week. Next week, about midweek, will be the earliest that we could see a large storm system possibly impacting these areas. And by then, the marketplace might be a little bit nervous again about the drying trend out there in portions of hard red winter wheat country. For the Midwest, it'll stay fairly moist. We don't expect a lot of storm systems to impact the region of size, but small disturbances will still come and go across the region as we move through the latter part of this week and into early next week. But it won't be until mid to late week next week that we see the larger storm system possible. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Support for this agricultural weather report comes from Busey. Busey believes that healthy businesses strengthen our local economy. They have a commercial banking team with 20-plus years of experience providing lending solutions to meet unique business needs. Busey, your dream, our promise.
Let's take a look and see how futures are trading in the electronic overnight market. In Kansas City, March wheat did not get a bid and has not traded overnight. May, 733.25, down one. July at 738.5, down 1.5. March wheat in Chicago, also no bid overnight. The May at 697.25, up a quarter. And July at 698, down 3/4. March corn, 726, up 3/4. May at 704.25, up 3/4. July, 681.5, up 1. And December at 548.25, up 1.25. March soybeans, 1507.75, down 3/4. May, 1474, up 3. November at 1269, up 1/2. March soybean meal at 437.30 is up 1.20. May, 436 up 80. March soybean oil, 5027 up 11. And May at 5035 is up 1. Joining us on the phone to talk about the markets is Aaron Curtis of MITCO, and he is in Bloomington, Normal, Illinois. Good morning, Aaron.
Good morning, Dave. How are you?
I didn't like my drive in the dark this morning.
It's a hard thing to get used to again, isn't it? I guess we'll make up for it this afternoon when it's a little lighter, but it is quite a change. And like you mentioned, I think it takes a little while to recover from that.
And it appears that traders are also in the dark at the moment, at least in terms of their activity, while outside markets, Wall Street, the Dow, continuing to make all-time record highs. There's not a lot going on here in the commodities.
No, pretty quiet. I got the supply-demand report out of the way on Friday. And now we kind of turn our attentions to the bigger report here at the end of the month. Of course, a little bit of an odd time there on the 28th with Good Friday being on a Friday. So we'll get that report out at 11 o'clock and then trade it for a couple hours and then get to think about it for a whole three-day weekend. But they'll update acreage, which at this point, assuming we're going to plant quite a few corn and bean acres, so somewhat known there. But obviously that grain stocks report always creates some conversation and some movement in the market. So at this point, I would think that would be the bigger one to pay attention to.
Yeah, lay out what the grain stock report issues are going into it for us. What are traders concerned about?
Well, I think, the last grain stocks report showed less grain, at least on the corn side, than what the market was anticipating. So we did have a friendly reaction to that, at least somewhat short-term anyway. And I think that's the kind of the move going forward here. Exactly what is that feed demand number? We did see the USDA raise feed and residual use by 100 million on Friday. So I think that's the thing that we got to know. Of course, that's always the big unknown, Dave, because we have a pretty good idea what exports are and what ethanol use is. So, you know, what that feed number means for grain on hand for corn and exactly how tight are we here as we move forward. I know basis and spreads tell us one thing, that stuff's just not moving.
Right.
But the question is exactly how much grain does the farmer still have on hand here as we move towards the second half of the year.
Thank you much, Aaron.
Have a good day. Thank you.
That's Aaron Curtis of MITCO, and he is in Bloomington, Normal, Illinois. Current tick in the marketplace. March wheat in Chicago, still no bid. The May at 696.5, down a half. March wheat and March corn rather at 726.5, up 1.25. May 704, up a half, and December 548, up 1. March beans 1508.75, up a quarter. May 1474.5, up 3.5. November 1269, up a half. March soybean meal 437.30, up 120. May 436.10, up 90. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3 Urbana.